Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guests are from Alamo Boxer Rescue. They're here to invite you to come join them at the 7th Annual Boxer Boogie Run, Walk, and Stroll coming up October 29th at Woodlawn Lake. Diana Doria is the events coordinator for Alamo Boxer Rescue, and Wendy Bigelow is the foster coordinator for Alamo Boxer Rescue. So we're going to find out what Alamo Boxer Rescue is all about, and then how you can come join the fun, because it sounds like a neat event, and they've just asked me to be a judge at the event. So I'm thrilled about that. So I'll be there. So you come there and join the fun. Welcome to you both. Diana, what is Alamo Boxer Rescue, please?
Alamo Boxer Rescue is a chapter of Austin Boxer Rescue. Austin Boxer Rescue covers all of Central Texas from Temple down to Brownsville. When I say covers, that means we take boxers out of shelters, mainly kill shelters, and rescue them and go through our program of the fostering, and we then do the adoptions, and it's a whole huge process. We are a 501c3, and we have been doing this now for 12 years, and during that time we have rescued and placed thousands of boxers. So we strictly just do boxers. Most of our rescues are purebred. And one of the questions, the first questions you'll get is, why do they need rescuing? Well, for different reasons. A lot of these dogs are used as breed dogs. And then when they're no longer useful, they just let them go. A lot of them have been abused and they get out, or we do get several cruelty cases. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple in our system right now that are cruelty cases. Mm-hmm. So it's varying. Some just get out of the owner's home and there's no microchip and they can't find the owner. So one of the things we try to stress, we not only do rescue, but we try to educate. And of course, the first is spay and neuter. Oh, primary. You cannot adopt from us unless the dog has been spayed or neutered, and or your current dogs have been spayed or neutered. That's education number one. Education number two is the importance of microchipping. And now the city of San Antonio, you cannot, when the dog goes through, any dog goes through ACS, it is automatically spayed and neutered and microchipped, because that will hopefully get a lot of these strays off the streets and back to their rightful owners.
Mm-hmm. And I think once with the city, once you get the dog microchipped, that is your registration for life, right?
Yes, yes. So, and it's also important, if you do move, remember, put that on your checklist of not just forwarding your mail, but put that on your checklist of notifying whoever has the microchip registered to change your address and contact information. With Alamo Boxer Rescue, when we have our dogs microchipped, they're microchipped to Austin Boxer Rescue. They are not microchipped to the adopter, for very good reason, because we find that adopters don't change their address, but we don't. They will always find us.
They will always find you. And so you can somehow hopefully track down that person.
Right. Hopefully find the owner or take the dog back into rescue.
And take care of the dog. So what is it about, describe boxers. What about, because various dogs have their various personalities. If you could generalize about a dog, I know they're all individuals.
Yes. They're all just like humans. They're all individuals. But as a breed, you find the boxers to be a very good family dog. They're very good they're very good with children. They're very even tempered. One thing that they are known for is being protective of the home and of the children. And and they're very energetic, very playful, and very, charismatic. Sometimes you'll get a goofball. Sometimes you'll get a just real sweet, mm-hmm. sad. And so they're all very, have their own personalities. But boxers have to have a tendency to have more of a personality than some other dogs. And Some of them will even talk to you. If you talk to them, they'll bark right back at you, and it's just like carrying on a conversation. Mm-hmm. So they are just really very personable dogs.
So how did you get involved with Alamo Boxer Rescue, and how did you come to be a boxer lover?
Through my grand dogs. My daughter got her first boxer, must be in about 15 years ago, and then it was two boxers, and Nana's house was doggy daycare, and so I learned about boxers. And she had said, "Mom, you need to get a boxer." "No, I don't need a dog." And, "Mom, you can foster, and that way you don't, you know.
You can have a dog and not have a dog.
And it came with an emergency situation here in San Antonio where we had the need. The person that had the boxer rescue in San Antonio could no longer handle it. And so Austin Boxer Rescue took it over. But that meant like 25 dogs we had to find a foster home for from one day to the next. So mm-hmm. my daughter comes to me and said, "Mom, they need fosters." I filled out the application on Saturday. They contacted me on Monday. And on Tuesday, I went to go pick up a dog and wound up with two dogs. But then, and the rest is history. I've been doing this now for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And so as a dog foster, what do you do? What's required of you? Or is that really a question for Wendy Bigelow?
That's for
She's
Wendy.
the foster coordinator.
She's our foster coordinator. Wendy.
So Wendy, how did you get connected with Alamo Boxer Rescue?
I started out with a 9-week-old puppy that we decided would be a perfect family member for us. And through researching the boxer breed, I came across Austin Boxer Rescue, which led me to Alamo. And I started out as a transporter, needed volunteers here in the San Antonio area, still do if anyone is interested. And from there, it just took off. I was hauling boxers up and down I-35 for quite a few months before I was offered a foster coordinator position, and haven't looked back. You know, boxers are my life. I have two.
Mm-hmm.
One was a foster failure, Fonzie, and he came to our house and fostered for a week, and then decided that no, he's not going anywhere. He's mine, and that's his story. He's a Bigelow,
mm-hmm.
so very much a part of our family.
So, what did you do as a transporter?
As a transporter, you're contacted by a transport coordinator, telling us that there is a dog coming in from maybe the Valley or somewhere coming into San Antonio, or maybe is already here in town, that needs to be transported to Austin, and if we're available, can we provide that transport? Sometimes it's very short notice. Sometimes we get 2 or 3 days. It depends. And away we go. Make sure we have towels and sheets available in the car just so that, you know, we protect our own property, and go pick up the dog. Make sure that we have treats in the car. It's always helpful, and certainly water. Some of them have been on a long trip, maybe from the Valley, and so they need sustenance. And take them up to Austin and turn around and prepare for the next one.
So are they scared? You know, I'm thinking, are they in a crate, or are they just lying on the seat? And are they scared? Because they've been through a traumatic situation usually
Indeed.
By the time they reach you.
Yes. We have ones that come in from the Valley. We partner with the Palm Valley Rescue, and they will bring a van full of crates, lots of dogs, lots of noise, scary situation, I think, for any dog. So, yes, they sometimes are scared. Sometimes I had one on Friday who hopped off the van and is like, "Okay, where do we go next?" and he got adopted the following day, which was amazing. But sometimes they come in, they're kind of shut down, they're quiet, they don't even want a treat. And some of these dogs don't even know what a treat is. Mm-hmm. My Fonzie didn't when I got him.
Mm-hmm.
So all kinds of situations. So depending on how many I'm transporting, I may have crates. If it's just one, I put blankets down behind my seat in the van, and we travel on up to Austin playing music, and I always talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And usually by the time I get them, we have a name for them. And so I start talking to them. I start calling them by their name and loving on them. Mm-hmm. Because in some cases, they've never had love. And so we provide that right from the start. This is your new life. You have a new name. And this is how your life is going to be.
And so once you get to Austin with the dogs, what happens?
The dog is then taken to one of our veterinary partners. And they are evaluated, make sure that any medical needs are immediately taken care of. Once that is taken care of, they are evaluated by our foster coordinator up there, and she will evaluate for whether they are dog friendly, cat friendly. Not always right off the bat do we do that, because we like to give them a little bit of time to just relax and learn that, okay, we're in a good situation, and we're getting our meals regularly, we're getting love. And then we evaluate. Mm-hmm. And that gives them time to decompress. And then they're given obviously medical attention is given right away if needed. But fosters are then found for them. And we try to provide a foster home that matches their needs. If mm-hmm. they're a deaf dog, we will put them with somebody who has experience with deaf dogs. If they're a young dog, we will get them with a family where they've got room to play, to mm-hmm. run around and be a boxer. You know, some of these dogs have been kept in crates the whole time. And coming into a house, they're a little leery for the first time because they've never been in one before. They may have been in a backyard the whole time. So as a foster, they have to kind of take it slowly, break them into the normal routine of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, a carpet is something they've never seen. So, you know, as you can imagine, there's a little bit of a strange scenario right off the bat. So a lot of patience involved.
I was thinking it is an adjustment for sure. So now, do all your dogs go through a foster home before they are adopted out?
Yes. That is something we try to do, because the adoption process is a very deliberative process. We take our time matching the dog to your needs as the adopter. So we want to make sure that, and it's an experience for both you as the adopter and the dog. We want to make sure that they're going to be happy where they are, and you as the adopter are happy with that dog. So if you've got toddlers, we're not necessarily going to match you with a 1 to 2 year old boxer that is all over the place, mm-hmm. lots of energy, because that can, you know, they can not intentionally, but they can knock a little toddler over.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that we are matching a dog to your needs, and they to your, mm-hmm. you to them.
You want a good fit and a forever Perfectly. Home, because sometimes it doesn't work out, right?
Right. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, it sometimes doesn't work out in a foster home either. And we will take that into consideration. And it's never look upon it as a bad thing to have to return a dog to us, because we'd rather you did that than the situation worsen and not have a good outcome. Mm-hmm. So we take the time to match, if possible, as best we can. And if you, for some reason, whether it's the home situation just isn't right, maybe you think the timing is great and you're ready and everything, and then you get the dog home and you realize, whoa, this is a lot more than I anticipated. But we try to discuss. Our adoption coordinator is really good at discussing that with families to kind of work out all those little kinks that you might have along the way.
Our guest this morning, Wendy Bigelow, she's the foster coordinator for the Alamo Boxer Rescue, and Diana Doria is the events coordinator for Alamo Boxer Rescue. So I'm going to take it, Wendy, that you are always looking for people to serve as fosters.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Especially here in the San Antonio area. We're a relatively small group, but the dogs just keep coming. So we really do ask that if you are interested in being a foster, please go to our website. You can go to alamoboxerrescue.com, and it will take you directly to the austinboxerrescue.com website. And there are pull downs where you can select how you can help. One of those is just a volunteer. You can transport whatever you want to do. But there is one also for fostering, and there is an application that you can fill out whether you want to be just a temporary foster while a foster is on vacation, and you can take their dog in for a couple of days, maybe a week or more, depending, Or you can just be a regular foster, somebody that is going to look after the dog until a permanent home can be found.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have it in your heart to be a foster, please, I implore you, go onto the website, once again, alamoboxerrescue.com, and fill out an application, because we are always looking.
What is it people need to know about boxers, like their indoor dogs, outdoor dogs?
They are indoor dogs, and this is a big deal for us. Boxers are what we call brachycephalic, which means they are short-snouted, and they cannot process the heat as easily as like a Labrador or a Golden Retriever might be able to. The heat that they breathe in, it's too much for them to be able to process before it gets to the brain. And so they are an indoor dog. They're not the typical roll-in-the-mud, get-wet kind of like a Labrador would be, so they're not always tracking in. Now, that's not to say they can't,
mm-hmm.
but that's not to say they won't. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's typically an indoor dog that, you know, if you want a dog that will sit on your couch and watch while the Cowboys play, they will sit there quite happily and snuggle with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a dog that will go on a hike with you, boxers are great for that too. They're great camping dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They are a family dog. And they are family.
Mm-hmm.
So they are certainly a breed that is a lot of fun to have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so people need to know that. But fosters are always needed.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
When someone agrees to be a foster, how long are they agreeing for? And then do you supply anything with the dog?
We usually ask them if they have a crate. We like to have the dog crate trained because a lot of adopters like to have their dogs crated during the day. That's not as a punishment. That is as a place of security. It's their little safe haven, if you will. So if the foster has a crate, that's great. If not, we will provide one, no problem. They are required to obviously feed the animal, give it love. Above all else, love and affection and a warm and welcoming environment.
Mm-hmm.
How long they have the dog, that's up to them. If they go to regular adoption days, we have them here the second Saturday of every month at the Petco at De Zavala. If they make it to every adoption day, that dog will not be around very long. It will be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So the length of time a foster has the dog is dependent upon the foster.
Oh, okay.
You get the dog out there so everybody can see it, then the chances of adoption are greater than if you're sitting on the couch watching football.
Oh, okay, so you actively put your dog out there, unless you want to keep it.
Unless, of course, you want to keep it, which I
happens.
Have.
Yes, you're a...
I am a foster failure.
That's what they call y'all.
That's what they call us.
Mm-hmm.
But the length of time, it depends. Some dogs, I know Diana has had one for 11 months. Sometimes they go within days.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
My record is one day.
Okay, you had one for one day?
One day, and it was adopted the next day, and it was like, okay, what just happened here?
I didn't even get to know the dog, and it's already gone. Are you a foster failure, Diana? Have you been?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Because that's your mission. You know, I'm just a warm place to
right.
On your journey.
Right, and to be able to work with the dog, and I've been doing this over 6 years now. So because of my experience, I'm able to read the dog, understand the dog. What kind of fit is this adopter going to, what kind of fit do we need here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is it energetic? Is it good with kids? Is it, you know, is it an alpha? And for some reason, I don't know why, but the alpha dogs find their way to my house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but your experience, you can handle them.
But they walk in and they try, and I look at them and I said, not in this house, sweetheart. You are not the alpha.
I'm in charge. And
exactly.
And I will take good care of you, but you're not running the show.
Right.
And you let them know that off the bat, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And that's very important that people need to understand that the dogs are very smart. And they can pick up who they can get along, who
they can take advantage of.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And in my home, they get love and attention and anything, but it's my way.
Right.
Or that. And with alpha dogs, one of the things you will find that has always amazed me, because they appear to be so strong and they want it their way. But when they understand that you are the leader, that they are not the leader, then they do everything in their power to please you.
Hmm.
And they are really the best dogs to have because they're the ones that want to please you and are one, they're looking around, what can I do right? What can I do to help? What can I do? And they're just a joy to have. Mm-hmm. Once they understand that you are their leader, mm-hmm. they're not the leader, it's like, okay, what can I do? And they, that little nub just wags and like, okay, what can I do?
So. Good to know. You know, before we run out of time, we need to talk about the Alamo Boxer Boogie. It's your 7th annual Boxer Boogie run, walk, stroll. Tell us about that.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. We will have the costume contest starts everything off. And that is a riot. And thank you very much, Chrissy, for agreeing to be a judge.
Oh, I've been a judge of an animal costume contest before, and I have just been blown away by the creative costumes and the dogs that either love them or like, why did you put this on? You know, it's such an awesome event, and just to see the dogs interact with each other, and
oh, yes.
and the way they're dressed up is just worth going.
Every year, I'm amazed at the creativity, and like we said, this is our 7th annual.
Is it only for boxers?
No. It is for any dog. Your dog must be on a leash. And must have some kind of manners.
Mm-hmm.
And because we get dogs of all shapes, sizes, colors, you name, temperaments, you name it. One of the things that's very fulfilling for us as volunteers is we do get alumni from a Boxer Rescue. And they're designated by, this year I think it's going to be a bandana. And at the end, we get them all together and we take a group picture of all the ones that are there. And basically, that's why we do it. This is why we volunteer. And that picture is a tangible result of our work. And so we will have several of the alumni there. And it's just a fun family event. I think we are the only race in town, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, that gives away free tacos to the runners after the run. And believe it or not, that does entice some people to
run. I'd run for a taco. But you also give away, don't you have boxer shorts?
Yes, we do. And for the first 200 people that register, we have cotton regular boxer shorts with the boxer logo on the one of the legs. And of course, we have T-shirts for the first 500. And we have vendors there that sell doggy products of all different kinds, whether it be food or people that make homemade dog beds. And it's just a various, and veterinarians. And so we have a various group of, but they all serve for the dogs. So we have the vendors and we have the costume contest. And then it's a 5K, and it is chip timed. So if you are a serious runner, you can do the 5K and get your time. And so we have it first without the dogs, and then the runners with the dogs. Then we have the walkers without the dogs, and then the walkers without, or the 3K, but most of them, or you can do the 3K, but most of them do the walk. Do
and it so walking. It's around the lake?
It's around the lake, and I don't know if you have been to Woodlawn Lake lately, but they have done so many improvements there. It is a real jewel within the city,
mm-hmm.
and to be inside the city and to be just such a peaceful place, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And to think that several years ago, it was just like a mud hole. But
mm-hmm.
now it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful, serene place that you can come and enjoy.
Yeah, it really is an oasis. And it's a great place for walking. You do see
yes.
a lot of people walking, exercising
yes.
there.
Yes,
they're really encouraging that. Okay, so it's Woodlawn Lake Park next Sunday, October 29th, 8:30. But what time do you need?
8:00
8:00
for the costume contest.
The costume contest is at 8:00. So you want to get there a little beforehand?
Yes. Yeah, get there a few minutes early. So if you're going to be in the costume contest, so you can get registered. And the contest starts at 8:00. And then the first race starts at 8:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the costume contest doesn't really take very long. We usually have about between 30 and 35 entrants in the costume contest. And thanks to our judges who have to make a quick decision, it's over with within 25 minutes.
And what do the dogs come as?
Oh, you name it. They come as cops and robbers, one team last year, and as pirates, as lobsters, as pumpkins, as princesses, as, I mean, we have people that have their dogs in princess outfits and matching sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in a stroller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really amazing. You're right. Some of these dogs are walking around like, okay, I own this costume and this is me. The others are going like, what did you do to me? So it's always interesting to see that. And then when they cross the finish line, we have cheerleaders. So they're crossing the finish line and everybody's cheering and everything else. And it's amazing when you're watching these dogs and they're coming to the end and they hear the cheerleaders, man, that head goes up and they're just like, okay, I'm coming through. It's so funny. And of course, sometimes the owners are, but the dogs are, okay, I did it. So it's just a lot of family fun. Mm-hmm. And for, especially if you have children, for them to understand, to see what the dogs can do and what the dogs mean in your life.
Mm-hmm. And there's a community for these dogs.
Yes, and there's a community for this. Yeah.
So what does it cost to participate?
Right now it costs, after October 1st, it costs $45 to participate. But you can register the day of. So we will have registration the day of the race. If you haven't registered before, to register, you go to boxerboogiefun.com.
So that's boxerboogiefun.com.
Yes.
Okay. And then you also have a thing where you're having a photo booth?
We have a photo booth. The other thing on registration, if you're not going to be able to make it but would still like to donate, we have what's known as virtual runners. So if you don't feel like getting up and being there at 8 o'clock in the morning, you can sleep in and just be a virtual runner, and you can donate online at Boxer Boogie Fun.
Okay, very good. And then you got a photo booth.
Oh yes, we have a photo booth, and you get to take, that's free. It's a professional photographer, and she mainly does pets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take a picture with your pet. And it's free, and you walk away with that picture that day.
So you have a nice memory, a photo, and just a great time. And then you're helping raise money for the Alamo Boxer Rescue. And all of this money is used to support the boxers because it's expensive.
Our medical expenses, the average cost per dog is anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000 per dog. So our adoption fees do not cover that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, one dog may not take as much, but then the next dog has been hit by a car, needs hip and leg reconstruction, replacement, or surgery to remove it. And all of those things cost a lot of money. But just the normal day-to-day, we have found that the dogs from the valley had come with ticks. And the possibility of tick-borne illness, which can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So as a preventative, the dogs that come from the valley are given an antibiotic for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 30 days worth of medication for every dog that comes in from the valley.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. So it all adds up pretty
quickly. Oh, it all adds up. And it's just, and we're in the process of trying to purchase a permanent home between Waco and Austin. And that way we'll and it's already was a rescue center, and it has a surgery facility, and it's really, really nice. So if we can get our pennies together, and this is where most of this money is going to go for, this is our largest fundraiser of the year for Alamo Boxer Rescue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for coming by this morning. Our guest, Wendy Bigelow, she is the foster coordinator, and Diana Doria, she is the events coordinator for Alamo Boxer Rescue. We're all going to be at Woodlawn Lake Park for the 7th annual Boxer Boogie Run, Walk, and Stroll. Starts at 8 o'clock with the costume contest, and as a judge, I cannot be influenced. I just vote for the coolest and the cutest, you know. I call them as I see them. I want you to know that. And then if people want more information, if they'd like to be a foster, because Wendy's always looking for people to serve as fosters for these dogs, how do they reach you?
AlamoBoxerRescue.com. We'll take you directly to the link on AustinBoxerRescue.com, and under Ways to Help, you will find fostering. So please come and join us. We're a fun group, always looking for help.
Okay. Thank you both for coming by.
Thank you, Chrissy.